Welcome to this month's PFA podcast. The focus for this month is the recognition of the 2017 winner of the Alex Tobin Medal, Cheryl Salisbury, a wonderful recipient of this award. It's an award decided upon by the PFA executive based on a whole raft of really important factors, including contribution to the sport, contribution to fellow professionals, and somebody who's transcended the sport through their deeds on and off the pitch. And I think against that criteria, there's few more worthy winners than Cheryl Salisbury, even weighed against the other greats that have been awarded this medal, including Johnny Warren, Craig Johnson, Harry Kuehl, Mark Paducah, Frank Farina, Mark Schwarzer, you know, wonderful contributors to the game, and Cheryl's right up there with the very best of them. Given where we are within women's football, I think it's fitting we recognise her and the contribution she's made to the sport. The podcast you'll hear is her being interviewed after having received the Tobin Medal, being awarded by Alex in person and interviewed by Simon Hill. I hope you enjoy it.
And it is with great pleasure that I would like to invite to the stage now Australian football legend. Please welcome him, Alex Tobin.
Thanks very much. It's a fantastic honour to be able to present the Alex Tobin Medal to Cheryl Salisbury. So it's very, very fitting that we're here in Newcastle. We're very, very fitting that we are blessed with the presence of the Matildas, who are in such magnificent form. We saw them the other day. We saw them at the Nations Cup, and just an absolute pleasure. And could you please put your hands together for the Matildas? And we're fantastically proud of your achievements, both now and in the past. And on the subject of Cheryl Salisbury, what an inspiration she has been for many of the girls in the room still running around, to have played for so long for the Matildas, to have played with at such a level for so many years, when conditions perhaps were different. You know, we wouldn't suggest that they're perfect now, but they were clearly more challenging during Cheryl's reign as Matildas captain. She's been a fantastic stalwart for the game for many, many years, recognised internationally, highly competitive, successful, but most importantly perhaps, and perhaps as an older player I will say this, most importantly because of the legacy that came after she finished, and that is many of the girls in blue at the end of the table there. So without any further ado, it's a great honour for me to present the Alex Tobin Award to Cheryl Salisbury.
I still had to kick a ball as I was going past. There was one rolling on the floor. It's an absolute privilege to be in my hometown to receive this award. When I was first asked who I would like here, it was obviously the Matildas. Sorry, Mum. but no, they, you know, I've spoken a lot, and you know, they say it with the Olympics, once an Olympian, always an Olympian, and there's many girls in this room tonight that once you're a Matilda, you're always a Matilda. So what these girls have been doing in the last few weeks at the Tournament of Nations and last night in Penrith, that's us, that's our team. You know, the Matildas that are sitting here tonight, we're with you. Every time you walk on the field, that's still us that's walking out there. We're all Matildas, we're always going to be Matildas, and we're always still part of what that dream is when you walk out on that field. So to me, it's just an honour to be part of that, to be part of that journey. There is a big legacy. I've been termed with the legend. I feel like that's just my age. the fact when I was kicking a ball, some of these girls that are in Matildas weren't born, and you know, that's been a legend. That's the age, I think. But you know, I loved every minute that I was out there playing till the last training session I had. I still had a smile on my face, and that's why all footballers here while we play. We love the game. We're just kids at heart, no matter how old we are. We just run out and love playing. My seven-year-old son Nate's here tonight, and he loves running out and playing and kicking a ball, and that was me till I was a month or two shy of my 35th birthday when I last played. So I love the game like everyone in this room, and yeah, I am immensely proud to have the Alex Tobin medal and to be on the list with other great people that have come before us. So thank you very much. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cheryl Salisbury, Alex Tobin Award winner. Please come and join me for a chat on the sofa. Thanks, Alex. Well, I know you've had all of 90 seconds to let that medal sink in, but what does an honour like that mean to you? I mean, you won so much. You played so many times for your country during your playing career, played at World Cups and Olympics. And I know, as I say, it's only just happened, but what does that mean for you?
Oh, it's mixed emotions. I mean, as I said, we're all Matildas. We all go out there and, you know, there's several ladies in this room tonight that I think, while I am the first female on this list, on this great honour, I think there's a few. Moya Dodd, she's done an amazing job for women's football. Yes, round of applause, please. She's fighting the cause on a world level for us. You know, Alison Semkowski, another person who's done an amazing job here with local football. And Renee Isereff, Matilda before me, local girl, local product, came into the team when she had to pay for everything she did, even the jersey on her back. Thankfully, my era, I didn't have to pay for that jersey on my back, but she's another person that stuck around in women's football, still does the hard work, has worked with the local teams and the Jets, and round of applause for her too, thanks.
Cheryl, we mentioned how momentous this week has been for women's football on and off the pitch. In terms of the deal that's just been signed, how important is that for female athletes that want to play football going forward?
The impact that has, I mean, it's hard to probably tell the average person the struggles that I faced throughout time and throughout, you know, the girls that went before me. It was even worse for them. You know, before the 2000 Olympics, we had players in our team that were strapping their boots up to go out on the field because we didn't have sponsors. You know, we didn't have, you know, Nike or Adidas coming in and supplying the team with boots. So, you know, a few of the girls were taping their boots up because the reality was we were working part-time while living at the Institute of Sport to support ourselves and to go out and play. So that's obviously as the years went by, got better and better, and, you know, till the day I retired, I was actually working with Nike and, you know, I was helping get the girls' boots and to get them into new boots that they didn't have to pay for.
Now, just on this current squad of the Matildas, they've just won the Tournament of Nations, as we know. They've defeated the United States for the first time in 28 meetings. They defeated Japan, the 2011 Women's World Cup champions, and thrashed Brazil by 6-1 and backed that up at the weekend in Penrith. Without wishing to put too much pressure on them, and close your ears, girls, because I know you're in the room, but people are starting to talk about, well, the World Cup in France in 2019, they're a big chance of winning this tournament. Do you believe that?
The belief within the team at the moment is amazing, and this starts over a period of time, and that's the legacy that myself, you know, Katie Gill, I can see Thea there, I haven't seen you tonight, you know, Carol Vincent, at every stage throughout your career as a Matilda, there's different points in time where you make a difference or the team makes a difference. And, you know, we saw that the girls beat the Americans or the US after, however, 28 games or something. I think I took part in 17 of those games, and for 17 of those games, I was defeated until 2004 Olympics, we drew 1-1 with them. And that was a big momentous thing that we're equal to the best team in the world. We had belief in ourselves. We had players that were playing overseas in the American League, and you believe they're no better than us. You know, we can match it. We've put them on a pedestal. And now I think these group of girls, they believe in themselves. They know they're as good as every other player out there in the world. They've just got to put it together as a team on the day. You know, and Stadge, I think, has done an amazing job with the girls to believe in themselves and to get them to work as a team. And that's really showing on the field. And it's not just one win now. You know, they've backed that up, winning the Tournament of Nations, and they've come back home with a great deal of pressure on them. And they've won in Penrith last night. So they've really got the belief, and I think the sky's the limit, as long as they keep their feet grounded.
It's one of the big differences, and we saw this on Saturday with that brilliant sellout crowd in Penrith. the fact that the public now, excuse me, almost seem to have buy-in as well. When you sell that many tickets on the back of that Tournament of Nations win, and I mean, I have a personal thing of this. My stepdaughter, who plays football at junior level and, you know, occasionally goes and watches the A-League, occasionally watches the W League, but all of a sudden, the Matildas, that was big news. And her whole club went to Penrith at the weekend. That's the first time that's happened. It seems like there's a momentum shift.
Yeah, there's definitely a momentum shift. And, you know, it's probably one of the things I feel disappointed as a player that that didn't happen during my time because, you know, you love seeing the fans. There's nothing better, every one of those Matildas, to have a home crowd of that many people cheering for you. You know, I remember that playing against the Italians at Marconi Stadium, can't remember how many years ago, it was an awful lot. You know, we're at Marconi Stadium and there was more Italians cheering for the Italians. So, you know, that to have a home game and having, you know, 15,000 people cheering for you in a sold-out stadium, you know, that's like the Olympics. You know, it was a fantastic thing for them to feel, and, you know, that's something that they really need to hold dear to them.
And this is still a very young squad as well, so their best is perhaps yet to come.
Yeah, and it's only going to grow, and I think, you know, part of that disappointment was that I don't think people within football at state or national level really put every resource into promoting the Matildas. You know, for these games, it was on social media, it was in the news, it was on TV. We weren't just the fine print at the bottom of the ticket. You know, we weren't just an afterthought at the radio. There was full-blown media attention and promotion, and that's what sells a crowd, gets a stadium full. And I think it's the first time it's ever happened. I've been around for a long time and I've never seen the amount of media attention, support and advertising, and I think it really showed if you really put your mind to it and the people in the right places that have paid the money to do it, put it in the right places, you fill stadiums, you get the promotion, you'll get the sponsorship dollars coming back to you. So I think it's really the start of something that's going to be very exciting in the years to come.
I just want to end on something you sort of touched upon towards the end of your answer there about growing that momentum for the women's game. The FFA, as has been announced recently, are going to bid for the hosting rights to the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup. If we were to win that bid, what would that do for football? Never mind women's or men's football. What would that do for football in this country?
I think that's the key thing. It's not men's or women's football. You know, it was something that's always been an afterthought. It's from my perspective as a player for 17 years, you know, we were part of something bigger, a lot of the, you know, part of FFA. We came from, you know, Australian Women's Soccer Association. We became part of the, you know, the Men's Federation, and we thought this is going to be a positive move. But a lot of the time we felt like we were in the shadows. So as time has progressed, we've got that little bit more, but we still always had to fight for any equality, fight to be seen to be the same. Even in functions like tonight, it's always, you know, and to the main part of the night, and it was always about the men. You know, so for me to sit there for so long and to have these awards and accolades, and in the end, you know, the big goal, the primary award, was always about the men. So being the first woman is an absolute honour. I think it should have happened before, and I definitely think there's one or two people in this room that it could have gone to before me anyway. That's what I'd like to see, that football is just football, whether you're a man or a woman. You're just a player. We all love the game. You know, whether those equalities on and off the field, we should just all be treated as footballers. And if we get the World Cup, then we've got to progress and keep that going, that we're all footballers. We've got to put the same resources in, because we've shown with this series against Brazil that we can sell out stadiums. And, you know, the sky is the limit for the Matildas. And if they keep this winning attitude and belief in themselves, then, you know, come that World Cup time, some amazing things can really happen.
Well, David, I don't know if you've got around to appointing ambassadors yet for the World Cup bid. I think we just found our first one. Cheryl Salisbury, congratulations. Alex Tobin Awards, medal winner tonight.